May the favor of the Lord our God rest upon us. Establish the work of our hands for us. Yes, establish the work of our hands. May God bless his word to our hearts. Well, this morning is Remembrance Sunday, and it is right that we should remember. That we should remember those who have laid down their lives that we may have freedom. A freedom that I passionately believe and have always believed we should never take for granted. A freedom that we should never abuse, though we recognize has in many ways been abused. We should remember those whose lives have been scarred, have been damaged because of injuries sustained in war. Not to just the two world wars, but subsequent conflicts. I don't know how it affected you, but I was moved to tears night after night when I watched scenes from the Paralympic Games this year. I found them profoundly moving. Profoundly moving to see how some of those guys and those girls had overcome some of the horrendous injuries that they had sustained. We should remember them, but we should remember those mothers, those wives, those children, those brothers, the sisters who suffer because of loved ones who have been lost, loved ones who have been disabled. We should remember those who have been mentally scarred, wives and families of those changed for life, caring for people. Actually, they've long since lost. I remember speaking to one lady who received her husband back from the Second World War, and she said, "I'm not married to the man I married. He's a different man. He has a different personality, a different character. I don't know him, but he's my husband." And she was afflicted for the rest of her life to look after somebody who actually ceased to exist in one of the conflicts that he was involved with. But she continued to love. Remember those who are mentally scarred. Remember the carers. Familiar bodies but lost souls in so many. And today I want us to do three things, and I've prepared some images that you will be seeing as we go through this that you've already seen from the First World War. I want us to recognize with sincere depth of emotion those who have died for it. And just reflect on the brevity of our lives, but recognize the eternal being of our God. So let's think of those who have fallen for us, how easily we can forget the cost of our freedom. Those images you have just seen were from the First World War. And in that war, 9 million people lost their lives. It was absolutely horrendous. 9 million people. And some of them lost their lives in the most horrendous circumstances. I remember some years ago, Judith and I went down to London, and I think we may have been at Spurgeon's College or something like that. And we went to the Imperial War Museum, which was quite close to that. And there, I don't know if it's still there, there they had downstairs a display of one of the trenches. You could go and sit in it, and there was sort of a recording and giving an idea of what it was like. And then there was a table out with a plan of all the trenches. And one of the things it described was that there were more people who drowned in the mud outside of the trenches than were shot in the trenches. The suffering on those fields in France was indescribable, horrendous. Life was very cheap. But actually, of course, it's very costly. There were some horrendous scenes, horrendous scenes. You would even imagine that World War I would have brought to an end any thirst after all those fatalities for war. But then we move on to World War II. And there we are looking at 70 million fatalities. There have never been so many people in any conflict in the history of the world lost before or since as during the Second World War. 70 million fatalities. There was an evil power that threatened world peace in the face of Hitler. And that there is a peace is a testimony to the grace and the intervention of God. If you look at picture here of Hitler and Mussolini, evil men perpetrating an evil course. And the flag, which was just a terrible sign, represented suffering, represented oppression, represented evil, almost epitomized evil. And that there are people in this day, in some places, who would show allegiance to that, I find beyond belief. We should not forget. There was a little character came into our nation called Winston Churchill. I love reading about Churchill. He was a nutcase, but he was a marvelous guy, wasn't he? A marvelous fella. He didn't get everything right by any means, but he was an amazing man. The man for the moment, I'm sure he was without doubt. Of course he made mistakes, but the man for the moment. Lest we forget. We recognize, we just see some scenes here picturing things that happened in that Second World War. There was an aeroplane which I think will remain in our minds. Nothing quite sounded like the Spitfires. And here's some people, not from our nation, but from South Africa, who were from Canada, who were actually helping us. We sent paratroopers over in their thousands upon thousands. Then, of course, there was that great landing in France that we shall never forget. But that isn't the only story. There was a thing called the Holocaust. And one of the worst things about the Holocaust, to my mind, were the children who died. And here are two images of the children. Here are just two little boys and then the rest. Lest we forget, there were Holocaust victims. Just shot without any mercy. A picture of a woman carrying her little child by an open grave about to be shot with her child. Lest we forget. Flanders Fields reminds us of all those who died in that war, and the poppy has come to remind us of that. And so it brings us right up to the present day, an image that some of you will see of a young man who has on his torso, "For those I love, I will sacrifice." And he did. He still lives, that boy. That's something that a lot of American soldiers have had tattooed onto either their torso, their arms, or whatever. There was a picture on the internet of an arm blown off a body and tattooed on the arm. "For those I love, I will sacrifice." I suppose there's one person who has that above any other. And his name is Jesus. Those words that we say at the Remembrance Service, lest we forget, are very powerful words. And we should not forget those who have laid down their lives for us. We should remember. I know it's become popular in lots of churches, certainly some evangelical churches, to forego this. But that's a terrible mistake. Terrible mistake. We should not forget. So, lest we forget, we shall remember those who have fallen with gratitude to God. And we shall remember an image of not just a soldier, but also of the cross. And I think this is a very special image that we can keep in our minds today. We must not forget our freedom. But you know, the freedom we have and the peace we enjoy is a testimony to the grace and intervention of God. There are numerous testimonies to crucial moments in the war when all seemed lost and the impossible seemed to happen because God was there. In the film Oliver Cromwell in the Civil War, there are two images that I shall always remember. Image of Cromwell in a Puritan chapel praying and of Charles I praying in the chapel in his palace. And the comment was made by Cromwell, "I would sometimes wonder God wonders which side he is on." Well, God never wonders what side he's on. He's always on the side of love, of mercy, of kindness, of justice. He is never, ever on the side of oppression. And if the Union Jack is on the side of oppression, he is not on that side. If the American flag is flying on the side of oppression, he is not on that side. He is always on the side of kindness and mercy and freedom in the Spirit of Christ. But without doubt, he opposed that Nazi symbol that became such a fearful symbol in the Second World War. And there were miraculous occasions when victories were won, when people were rescued. One thinks of that rescue from the beaches of France. Amazing rescues. And one thinks of how God gave deliverance again and again and again and again. And we are grateful for that. But the cost was vast absolutely vast. So we will remember and say to those who fell and their relatives, thank you. We will remember with gratitude. And we remember with gratitude the words of our Saviour. Greater love has no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. And to those who now lay down their lives, their health, their youth, and their vitality, even their sanity for freedom against evil, we say thank you, boys. Thank you, girls. We will remember you, and we will not forget. But above all, today we remember Christ Jesus. Every month we celebrate the Lord's Supper, and every month we come and we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for dying for us. Thank you for the cross. Thank you for your love. I guess the place that it is wonderfully portrayed is a verse that all of you will know, all of you should know, John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not die, but should have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. We should remember Christ. And if you should be grateful to anyone for your being here today, it should be to Christ Jesus. If you should think of anyone, it should be of him. And our prayer should be that those who are in conflict will come to know him. I was really thrilled to hear somebody we know quite well who became a lieutenant. Lots of you will know him. He's Juliet Barker's son. When he went to Afghanistan as a lieutenant, he had some guys entrusted to his care. And he shared with us when he came back how every one of them wanted him to pray with them. Every one of them wanted to read the Bible with them. Every one of them wanted to know about the Lord Jesus Christ. Because so often when people face terrible crises, life-threatening moments, it is to God that they turn, and rightly so. Isn't it interesting when that little child went missing from Wales, where do people go? Church. When there are crises, where do people go? Church. Not church, God. And he's there. In times of crises, in times of death, in times of loss, in times of disaster, he's there. For anyone who turns to him. And he is there for us today. He is here for us today. But as we look at this amazing psalm, I want you to think about the brevity of life. We should think about that because many of these people who lost their lives in these wars were young men. I remember a lady telling me that she'd been married just a month when her husband was called up in the Second World War. And she remembers writing to him saying, I am expecting a child. I hope you'll come home soon. She never saw him again. And that could be multiplied thousands of times. Thousands of times. But it's not just in war. In my first church, with my first full-time pastor, it was a place called Hare Hills Lane. Robert and Hillary were there. In my first year at Hare Hills Lane, there were many elderly people. Robert's grandma was one of them. Many elderly people who passed away. I had almost the same number of funerals as the weeks in the year. Some weeks I had 4 and 5 funerals. I became quite well known to the funeral directors around Hare Hills at that time. And they were nearly all elderly people. People in their 80s and 90s. Elderly people in their 60s. 70s. But old people like Judith and I. Some even as old as you, Olga. But they were old people. People who'd lived their lives, and now they were getting into old age. But when we started LRBC, young church, the first funeral was a boy of 21 years of age, Tony. And the same week, a young man who'd been the leader of our young people's group in his very early 30s. And you know, that hit me like Muhammad Ali just giving me a left uppercut. Whoa. Death is not just for the elderly. War reminds us of that. But even outside of war, death can be for anyone. Life is brief. And I've been reminded over the last few weeks of the brevity of life. And especially today, we should be mindful of that. Both in the two world wars, but also in every conflict since, even now, our young men and our young women in the armed forces are facing the possibility of death every day. Now, Debbie's mum is 101, is it, tomorrow? Wednesday. That's a pretty good record. See, Debbie's not even halfway there yet. But 101, that's some age, isn't it? Don't expect you'll be living that long, Dave. Very few of it. What do you mean, ah? Are you expecting to live to be 101 years of... I'm not expecting to live much beyond... Well, if I can get to my 70th, I'd be very pleased. We're allotted 70 years, 70 years, and you can't expect a day beyond that. If you've reached 70, it's goodbye time, nearly. When you get to your age, Olga, you're way over the limit, way over. There've been angels saying, can she come now, can she come now, can she come now? For 10 years. So 70 years is what we can expect. Beyond that, as the scripture says, we can't expect that. I mean, we need to take very, very seriously. Now, what does I made a mistake there, didn't I? Yeah. What was it? What was it that the hymn says? 1,000 years in your sight are like a day that is just gone by, or like a watch in the night. That's verse 4. 1,000 years in your sight, like a day that's just gone by, or like a watch in the night. 100 years, 101 years. I guess your mum feels very old, although she's better than she has been, isn't she? But 100 years is nothing, just a breath. 50, 60, 70, it's nothing, it's just a breath. Our trees mock us. I was privileged one time to go to America in a place called Yosemite National Park. Robin Hillary went with us. And there are some amazing trees there. There are trees standing in Yosemite that were 100 feet high when Jesus walked the earth. Is that amazing? Is that marvelous? I was standing and watching one and thinking, oh my word. Oh my word. 70 years, 2,000 still going strong. 70 years. There are trees all around us that mock us. Walk out of here, you'll see trees that are 100, 150, 200 years old all over the place. You can plant a tree. It's lovely seeing trees grow. Last week I was at the funeral of Mary Jones, lovely lady that I had great affection for, and I was driving over the pass with Andrew Wishart. We drove over the top and saw a bunch of trees that I've seen many, many times. And I remember those trees, John telling me that they were planted when he was just a little boy and he saw them grow. Now that's only 90 years ago, now some of them are falling down. That's not very long at all. Those sort of trees don't tend to last that long, but some trees... Most trees that you plant will outlive you by a long, long, long time. They mock us. We are here for but a breath. So let every breath be breathed for the glory of God. Let every breath be breathed with gratitude to God for his gift to us. We who are getting on a little bit, we don't have so long left. But you who aren't, you don't have so long left. So live life for Jesus. Remember that lovely phrase, carpe diem, isn't it marvelous? Seize the day. Especially as you get older in life, you can't afford to waste your lives. Seize the day. Live life for the glory of God with eternity in your hearts. And to the full, enjoy every moment that the Lord gives to us. You know, it's very easy when you get older to just lay down and die. Don't lay down and die. Look up and love, look up and live, look up and long for Jesus. And some of you young people, both children, teenagers, young adults, your life's before you. But can I tell you, it will be brief enough. You may think because you're in your teens or your 20s or your 30s, you've got forever. You don't have forever. It's gone in a trice. And you don't have time to waste, not a day, not a moment, not a minute. They're all so precious. Our life is before us, but it will be gone soon enough. It will be brief enough. Use every moment for the glory of God. Enjoy every moment with Jesus. Make sure your eternal destiny is secure. Let Jesus really and truly be the Lord of your life, and do it today, lest we forget. Lives can be cut off in their prime. Many are. Lives could be curtailed in their prime, many are. Mobility can be curtailed. Sanity can be curtailed. There are so many things that beset us. So many diseases that can catch us out. I guess if we knew how many diseases were flying around, we'd sit in a house all day with a bag over our heads or something. I'm so grateful for modern medicine. I wouldn't be here if it weren't for modern medicine. Some of you wouldn't be here if it weren't for modern medicine. I'm so grateful for that. I'm grateful for the doctors and all of these people. You know, our good friend Chris Hendricks just last week was able to, he's been launched something. He's been studying a particular illness and been trying to find cures for this illness for about 5 years. And he studied pharmacy and he's one of these guys that can study something and whatever. Got a pharmaceutical degree and went into research with a pharmaceutical company. And last week, he was able to launch something that he'd come up with, a cure for an illness that had no known cure before. It was launched onto the American stock market, and his boss became a billionaire in 10 minutes. 10 minutes. I said, well, I hope that he values you, Chris, and send a bit this way. We need a church, and we need various other things. Isn't that something? And he's having to go speak to people all over the world now about this new super drug. That's happening all the time. Super drugs, amazing things being discovered, amazing cures. That's fantastic. Absolutely amazing. And there are maybe quite a few of us here wouldn't be here if it were not for that. We are so grateful for that. It's fantastic. But if God gives you a day or a week or a month or a year or maybe 2, 3, even a decade more than you should have had, let us use every moment for the glory of God and enjoy every moment with Jesus. Live life to the full, or to the fullest you are able to live life. You know, as you get older, there's some things you find you can't do that you used to do, and it is extremely frustrating. When your children can open tops of jam jars that you can't open, when Esther can open a jam jar that you can't open, very frustrating. But do what we can do and live life to the full and enjoy it to the glory of God. But finally, I want us to recognize this. Recognize the eternal being of our God. Because God is God. And when there were all these terrible things happening in the world, God was still God. When Hitler rose to power, God was still God. When he declared war on nation after nation, God was still God. And when things are happening today, God is still God. He watches and sees everything. He holds us in his hand, and he loves us, and he cares for us. Every moment of every day he does. God is still God. And God is vast beyond anything we could possibly imagine. The psalmist says, Lord, you have been our dwelling place throughout all generations. Before the mountains were born, or you brought forth the earth and the world from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. Isn't that amazing? My friends, God is vast. He's eternal. Eternal. What does that mean? He's always been. What in the world does that mean? He will always be. Can you get your head around that? I can't begin to get my head around it. He's promised us eternal life. What in the world is eternal life? I mean, 65, 68, 69, 70, whatever years is exciting enough, but forever? What in the world does that mean? It means something beyond anything you can possibly begin to grasp. Even the size of the universe is beyond our wildest dreams. I remember seeing one of those things of Giglio, and he's describing, I think it's Musifi. And he said, Musifi is 1,000 times greater, and he thought he was going to say, than the sun. Then he said, than the Earth's orbit around the sun. Right. Big then. Big. And now they've found one which is 1,000,000 times the size of Musifi. Bigger then. I mean, the word big doesn't really mean much, does it, when you come to that big? Big. And we are now told by these amazing scientists that the whole universe, it, and all the stars and everything within it, all the systems within it, are all being controlled by some sort of force. And they say, it's even here. They call it the dark force. They've just got the word dark wrong. It's actually the light force. a three-letter word in English, God. He's made it all. He's holding it together. And then they've discovered that by the looks of things, the way that the universe is functioning, there are other ones outside of our universe. And they're spherical, but big spherical. And these universes, they're pretty certain, go on forever. Forever. They never end. Wow. 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 Well, Don Garlington would have told him that 20 years ago when he said, we shall spend eternity conquering an ever-expanding universe. God is vast. He's amazing. He's bigger than anything you could possibly imagine. And I want to tell you something. He, that God, cares about you and me. He loves you. He's holding you in his hand. He's prepared eternity for you, lest we forget. And he's right here at this moment, right with us, right here. Even the scientists say that this dark force is here, everywhere. Of course he is. He's eternal. He's everywhere. Last week, a lady came to me into our little shop at the Granary, and she said, I've been looking at your books in the bookshop. Where's Buffy's next door, is she? She said, I was going to buy this one. I said, all right. She said, but it talks about this planet that's supposed to be billions of years old. I said, right. Well, she said, I think that's dreadful. I said, oh, I'm sorry. She said, yes. So I said, I guess you mean you believe in a young earth? Yes. Yes. So it was made in 6 24-hour periods of time. I said, right. I explained that you know, the word day in Hebrew doesn't necessarily mean 24 hours. It doesn't mean that in English either, necessarily. I said, it can have a very different connotation. It can mean a period of time. Oh, but it doesn't. I said, all right. Okay, whatever. I said, I respect your personal conviction, but, you know, it doesn't have to be like that. And there are very sincere believers who have a different perspective. Okay, okay. It's the same, of course, in any language. The real answer, of course, is this. However old creation is, God is very, very, very old. Quadrillions of years have not even begun to talk about how old he is, because he has always been. Now, it may be that he spent forever planning creation and felt when he started it, he had to finish it like that. Or it could be, of course, that he has been doing this for vastly longer than the scientists have even begun to imagine, which is what I personally suspect, but that doesn't matter. The important thing is, he's done it. He is creator, and he is massive. He is vast. And his promise for you is that if you're a Christian, your hope is for everlasting life. I remember talking to a person who had become very old and was struggling, and she said to me, she said, Pastor, she said, I'm just existing. Your hope is not for everlasting existence, for everlasting life, in vital spiritual bodies lifted to the full for the glory of God and enjoying every moment when time just doesn't mean anything anymore, because it is something we have in an infinite amount of provision for. I have been told, which I mentioned earlier, and it thrills me, how many soldiers and airmen and seamen have begun to take an interest in the Christian gospel. I've also been told how many soldiers, airmen and seamen, as they face death, confess Jesus as Lord. Of course, what else is there? When you're facing death, what else is there? There are some people who, as children, learn something of the gospel and they let it go all of their lives. But when they come to the end of their life, what else is there that can confess Christ as Lord? I remember being at a conference in Canada where a lovely guy called Paul Helmer, who was a Christian philosopher, he asked this question. He said, if there was an atheist who prayed the atheist prayer, and the atheist prayer is, God, if there's be a God, have mercy on me, So if he said, God, if there is a God, have mercy on me, and he prayed it sincerely, would God have mercy upon him? And there was a big debate for about 3 hours, of which most people conclude, no. You know, did he believe this confession? Did he believe that? No. The scripture seems very clear to me. If anyone in the sincerity of heart calls upon God for mercy, it's theirs. It is theirs. If you call upon him, he will hear you. And I have no doubt that there are many people who in their last moments, having forgotten God all of their lives, thought, what in the world have I been doing? There's only one person that I need now, and that is God. And he would receive them. I have absolutely no doubt of that whatsoever. But I do know this. If you would know joy and peace in this life, you need to confess Christ as your Savior and Lord. I've seen many people come to deep and true faith as they come to the end of their lives. Of course. Remember the thief on the cross, being deservedly put to death for crimes which God's law required he die for. You will feast with me in paradise, Jesus says today. Of course, anyone can receive God's mercy and God's forgiveness. Well, I want to go back to where we started, lest we forget. I want you finally to think of just one person. Don't forget those who've laid down their lives, but don't forget Jesus, for his sacrifice was the greatest of all. He died that all who come to him may have forgiveness of sin and life eternal. Jesus died for you and for me. And all he requires, but he does require this, is that we live for him. Let's sing our next hymn. It's a beautiful song. Lord, for the years, your love has kept and guided, urged and inspired us, cheered us on our way, sought us and saved us, pardoned and provided. Lord of the years, we bring our thanks today.
Pleasure, wealth, and care. Lord, speaking, Daddy, I was reminded of Dead Poets Society, where all those boys stood on their chairs and said to Robin Williams, said, "Captain, oh my captain, seize the day, boys," was his response. Let's come together in prayer before our captain and ask him to enable us to seize the day for his glory. Let's come together in prayer. Father, we thank you for your wonderful love to us. We thank you, Lord, that we can come as a family of believers who love you in no fear of our lives, because we can do that. And our heart and our minds and our prayers go out to those around the world who this day will suffer because they love you. We pray your protection and we pray your strength be upon all your children around the world. Father, we thank you for this morning and for the message we've heard, for the remembrance. And Lord, most of all, we thank you for your precious Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray, Lord, that all of us would love him more, love you more, and seek in our lives to seize the day for your glory. Lord, we do pray that you would forgive us for our many sins, for the way that we failed you in every area of our lives. But we do pray that you would put your hands upon our lives and make us the people you would have us be. Fill us with love for one another and forgiveness for one another too. Lord, we thank you for all that are here this morning, but our minds go to those who are unwell, and we pray your blessing upon them. We do bring before you Marion and Alan, Pippa, who is also unwell too. We pray your blessing upon all of them. Lord, we in a moment we'll be bringing the children back into the church service, so we do pray your blessing upon all the children of this church, that you would draw them all to yourself, that all of them would come to know and love you in their early years, and that you would protect them from the evils that we see in our nation. Lord, we do pray that there would be a mighty turning to yourself in this world and in our nation and in this community. Help us to be that light that shines in a dark world that speaks of your love. So we pray these things, believing that you are a mighty God, the mighty God of all things. Amen. Right, we're going to sing and we're going to stand and sing.